Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 8:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa and Beth, and we are joined right now by our great friends over at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning, you guys.
How's it going over there?
Not bad. How are things there?
Doing good here. Buckling down and getting ready for what Mother Nature's got coming our way. And there's a lot happening weather-wise throughout our whole country right now. What is it looking like in our neck of the woods, Paul?
Yeah, it looks like we start to get the first wave of precip coming in tomorrow evening. And the biggest concern is going to be rain, freezing rain, kind of teeter-tottering between those two types of precip tomorrow night. So initially, our concern is going to be certainly some possible ice accumulations Tuesday night into Wednesday. We kind of go back and forth, maybe some rain, freezing rain. And then as we get to Wednesday night, what's left of it turns to snow and then some accumulations at that point Wednesday night here into Thursday. So a lot of things to iron out, certainly, with this pretty complicated situation with this system. It looks like we're still under that winter storm watch from tomorrow night through late Wednesday night. Then today, just cloudy and quiet, 35, 28 tonight, cloudy skies, and 37 Tuesday, with the rain and freezing rain mix developing late Tuesday, Tuesday night. Some possible ice accumulations, 30 for the low, 38 Wednesday, areas of mixed precipitation, still kind of rain to freezing rain, maybe some wet snow. 38 Wednesday, 30 on Wednesday night, as areas of mixed precip may turn more to snow late, 30. And then 35, some areas of light snow and mixed precip Thursday. 33, snow showers Friday, cloudy and maybe some flurries and snow showers. Into the weekend on Saturday, some mid-20s at that point. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Appreciate the forecast there, Paul, so much. Thank you for the time. We'll talk again tomorrow. You have a great day.
Thanks, and you too.
Best in the business right there, our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate them. Man, they are busy right now. We got some fun things to get into this hour. We'll, of course, in just a little bit, and after this segment, get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little after that, got some new food combos we want to talk about and some other interesting stuff going on. 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick off with the Kitchens Open, our food-centric show inside the show that is run by Melissa and Beth. And a little after that, Taylor Schaefer is going to join us, Alice in Dairyland. We're going to talk about Wisconsin butter.
All right. Yeah.
All that coming up for you. Of course, Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day, and we'll see what other fun we can jam into these 3 hours here. Looking forward to that. This is where I wanted to start off the hour, though, and I think this is certainly a positive story, I would think. We're on our third Christmas since the start of the pandemic, and so far, a lot of people solo at home gifts with books and video games aren't going to cut it anymore. So the solo gifts, the kind of thing like that. So the holiday season, this holiday season, 77% of Americans would rather receive experiences over physical gifts. But the key is that there's something shareable. For example, 63% of people would like to receive surprise travel, so maybe tickets or just a plan to go somewhere with family or friends in the future. It's a fun one.
It is. The only caveat to that, though, is what about, you know, other plans? That's you got to know a lot of information to be able to plan something like that for someone else.
Yeah.
Well, I would think this would be more of a, like, spousal or family gift than it would be for somebody outside of the family. Like, one of the best presents I got from my husband was for my birthday this year, which is tickets to go to the Overture to see their Broadway series. And the good news is he has access to my calendar, so he knows when I would be available and when I don't. And you know, he does it enough in advance to say, okay, here are the dates that you need to make sure you don't schedule anything at the church for.
That's a good point.
It's the only way that this can really work is if it's somebody you know that intimately or at least have some kind of familiarity with. It does make it a little bit harder to surprise them, though.
Right.
It definitely does. My oldest was talking about getting her a menorah for herself. And she shows me all these, and she's all excited and everything. And I'm on the other side of the phone trying to think, how do I text her? Don't. somebody, someone might be thinking of getting you one. And while there's a lot of items that you could do this with, you probably don't want like 8 menorahs sitting around. You probably don't. There's not a whole lot of uses for them. That's all. Just don't really, really don't need that many. There's only 8.
Well, the other option is to create like a gift certificate to be cashed in later. I know my sister-in-law has done that with her boys and said, okay, here's your gift. Is a family experience to be done at a date of your, when we can coordinate all of the details.
That would be better for like kids.
Yeah, you give the intent of the gift, but then that allows them to have some say as to what you're going to do and when you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
My old program director out in California, Ron, great guy. He is, I believe, going to be retiring at the end of next year. Been in the industry for a long time. I learned a lot from him. One of the things that I kind of picked up that is not necessarily good between him and my father and my papa is my work ethic and this obsessiveness to never leave this building. He was very similar to that. So we got him a gift certificate to that he could use at an airline. I don't remember because I wasn't behind. I didn't actually get the card or any of that stuff or anything. I just put money into it. But I don't know how they did this or whatever. But it was like with a major airline company or something like that, and it was for some odd amount of money, so he could pick anywhere he wanted to go, and he already had some of it paid for, basically, if not all of it, depending on where he went.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
I don't know if he ever used it. I genuinely don't. I don't know if he ever did. I'm not sure. It would have been very hard to make him use it, but there's some other things people are thinking about too, like tickets to a concert or show. 50% of people are into that.
Absolutely.
An outdoor activity such as skiing, boating, or hiking. 43% of people agreed with that one.
It's a good gift.
A food tour or a cooking class. 36% of people like that one.
Nice.
Think about who you're talking to, James.
I like that one too. I like that one also. Vouchers for wine or beer tasting. 31% said that.
Yeah,
that's a good experience.
Or a trip to the museum. I will add a trip to the museum or zoo. I would throw a zoo in there as well.
Oh yeah,
sure.
29% of people said that one.
Mm-hmm. Or even botanical gardens are great this time of year because you get to go inside and be warm.
Yes,
when it's cold out.
I mean, this has nothing against any other botanical gardens or anything like that, but every time somebody says that, I immediately think of the one in Madison.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite I've ever been to. I've only been to it like about 4 or 5, granted, but it is easily one of my favorite like places to go, let alone one of my favorite botanical gardens. It's my sister still lives right in Madison, and we go there almost every time I go to visit her. It's something nice. We grab my nephews and go do that. It's such a great experience, and I have never left there not feeling a good vibe. It's just a great place to go.
Olbert Gardens, that was one of the places that Seth and I first had dates.
That's cool.
And they have a wonderful butterfly room. Thousands of butterflies in that room. It's gorgeous.
There is such a interesting, because I think a lot of people have had an insect or a butterfly in particular land on them. It's such a weird feeling when you have like 30 of them on you.
Yeah.
And you can kind of feel like, I don't want to say a weight to it, but like a bit of a difference. Like, okay, like it's only like having like a stack of paper on your arm. Not even that.
Right.
It's less than that.
Like teeny tiny.
But you still feel something. And it's kind of cool. Right. It's like a connection. If you feel connected to it all. I think there's an important point here that kind of, it's weird to kind of think of this. I think in the years since the pandemic, we have gotten now to a point where we're kind of now getting almost unfamiliar with what it was like to be in the pandemic. I don't want to say, I'm not meaning that like this is completely out of our minds or anything like that. Oh, that feels like 20 years ago. I don't mean it like that. But we've gotten to now where we're back to whatever the new norm is, sort of. Remember when we kept saying, well, whatever the new normal is. It feels like we're as close to that as we've ever been.
I would agree with that.
We're certainly on the way, absolutely.
And that feels good. That's cool. That's a win right there. Everybody, let's take a cheer there. That feels good.
Yeah.
But it also is a nice reminder, because we are so removed from that, people just as badly want to get out of the house. Like people mm-hmm. just as badly as when the shutdown first ended. There's still a lot of people who were not comfortable going out for a while or the first 6 months or the year. There are still some people who are still a little hesitant to go out in public and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So creating a reason to do this, like, hey, we're going to go to this concert together or hey, we're going to do this together is a great idea, I think. I actually think this is one of the cooler ideas I've ever thought of. And just one other real quick thing. If you don't know the person's schedule that well, giving them something to look forward to maybe in spring or summer might not be a mm-hmm. bad idea. So it gives you guys a chance. Hey, we're going to go to, you know, whatever big musical festival you want to go to in the summer, insert name. Mm-hmm. You got time to set that up.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And the great thing about this kind of gift giving is it's not just a something that you're giving them to enjoy themselves. It's something you're giving them to enjoy with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Doing something together, which I think is wonderful.
So it's really a gift you're also giving yourself. And the memories that you create for both of you are just going to be there forever then.
Mm-hmm. So just make sure as you're giving these gifts to do together, it's something they want to do as mm-hmm. much as you do.
Absolutely.
And not focused on you.
Great. Oh, just great, Melissa. Thanks a lot for that. Yep. Really appreciate it. I had my family and I was going to grab all my friends and family. We're going to go see the Simpsons Museum that I'm creating. I guess not now. Now I got to think of something completely different. Great.
Yep. Try again. Back to the drawing board, James.
Yep. I don't think of this.
And if it's something that you struggle with, but you know they enjoy, just remember it's only for a brief moment.
Right.
For a couple of hours or so.
I honestly, I've thought about this a lot. My dad has never seen the ocean.
Oh.
And I would love to take my mom and dad, and I'd love to be able to, you know, if we could, grab as many family members as we could and just drag him to the ocean. I don't care which one. I don't care where we're
screaming.
Yes, yeah. I know how badly he wants to do this, and I don't think he never does things for himself. He never would.
Right. He'd need the push.
If my dad cut himself yesterday, and mm-hmm. I had to convince him to put a Band-Aid on because he didn't want to use the Band-Aids up. Like, Dad, we got a box of them. Use the dang
Band-Aid.
For
this purpose.
Oh, no, Jimmy. I don't know if we can cut it. Just give me it. I'll do it. Drive me crazy over here.
Around for everybody else. You got to take care of yourself, too.
Yes.
Has anybody else also picked up on this? The amount of time I've been spending with my father the last couple of years and the fact that we drive each other crazy as much as we love each other, I'm starting to talk like him a little more. Nobody warned me of this. Nobody told me that was going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm getting upset over here. I'm getting really upset.
Just put a Band-Aid on it.
We will take a break. We're going to come back, and we are going to do some celebrating. We got Misty's Menu, Yay. Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up for you right here on Mornings at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear AOL buddy. Happy birthday to you.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Zoe. Thank you. You don't have to leave. Oh, she's leaving. Okay. Zoe Deschanel, everybody. Thank you so much. Friend of the show. Great lady. It is time to do some Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, and it's time for you to treat yourself. Get on over there. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us for not only sponsoring the Birthday and Anniversary Club, but for giving everybody an opportunity on your birthday to get on over there and get a free slice of one of Brian's pies.
Yes.
Mm,
so yummy.
We take pie seriously around here. And yes, it's in part because we have the head of the pie council working here and Seth and everything. So we kind of have to. But also, it's something not to take lightly. I mean, a free slice of pie from Brian, that's a pretty good gift right there. That's good.
Absolutely.
And I encourage you to head on over to Misty's and get that for you if you are celebrating a birthday today or any time coming up. Mm-hmm. I am going to need a one or a two, and I usually like to put whoever's in the studio on the spot for that one. You know what? I'm going to, Melissa, I don't think I've had you do it for a while, so Mel, you do it. Give me a one or a two.
All right. Let's go with one.
All right. There we go. That gives us our qualifier. So we can go ahead and get right into things. We want to first up wish a very happy birthday to Nick Brandt.
Ooh, happy birthday, Nick.
Enjoy your day, sir. Hope it's a good one for you, Nick. Also celebrating a birthday, our qualifier, Betty Klaus.
Happy birthday, Betty. Congratulations.
Congrats, yeah. Betty. Enjoy your day. We hope it's a great one for you. And we want to thank whoever got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Thank you for sending them to us. Please continue to get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com. You can really send them to any of our staff. And we encourage you to like our Facebook page and direct message us through there as well. I did have a listener ask this weekend, what about our sister station and their Facebook page, WIRI, West Country? I imagine if you send us a birthday and anniversary there, you can get it to us as well. That'll get to us as well. So I don't see any issue with that. However you got to do it, get us your birthdays and anniversaries because we love celebrating with you.
Yes.
Let us go ahead and dive right into our celebrity birthdays. And first up on the list, Mayim Bialik is 47.
Aw, blossom.
She was Dr. Amy on The Big Bang Theory and one of your new Jeopardy hosts.
Oh, really?
Mayim has a PhD in neuroscience, just like her character did. And her first movie was the 1988 horror classic Pumpkinhead.
Wow.
But I think most people remember her and her real acting performance. Her tour de France of acting was in Blossom.
Yes. Mm. Love the hats. She is a woman that can wear hats.
There are a few shows my little sister loved more than Blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a silly kind of fun show. I think a lot of people will remember certain things from it. Whoa! I never saw the show. Watching my sister watch the show. But my sister loved to dress weird. And I think a lot of little kids do that. And in a fun way, that show kind of like, I don't know if it was really hard for kids or not or anything, but that show really embraced that. And even though she was a little older than my sister and everything, it was something that Jillian, you know, talked about for a long time. It kind of empowered her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, for sure, because they see somebody doing that on TV, that makes it not as scary, I guess, to express yourself through dress that way.
Go ahead, Beth.
That's why it's important to see yourself represented on TV, because it makes it more normative for you.
That's funny. We've been working together too long, Beth. I was just going to say, we talk about representation and the importance of that. And that's certainly important, whether we're talking about creeds or sexes or religions or any of these things. But that kind of stuff is just as important, I would say, as an ethnic person, I would say that. I think that stuff, it means a lot.
Absolutely.
It goes a long way.
Well, and I think the performance that really put her on the map was when she played young Bette Midler in Beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened right about the same time that she got the role of Blossom. But she did a phenomenal, because it showed her dancing and singing ability as well.
I will admit I haven't seen that since I was a kid, but that was an underrated movie back in the day. Like that, that's one of Bette Midler's greatest performances, and it was kind of underrated from what I remember back in the day. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just as a kid I remember it that way, but...
I just think it's awesome that as an actor, she's also a neuroscientist. That's just cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Girls can be smart.
Well, I tell my students, I told my kids, I tell anybody that'll listen, you know, chase down your dreams, go for it, hunt them down, be relentless about it. Do that while having a day job.
Yes.
You know, make sure that you can pay the bills and everything. My son took this and became just graduated with from neurology and everything. Mm-hmm. And I know other students of mine that are doing very similar things where their major in college is something, you know, very concrete, and they're minor is like, you know, dance or something like that, you know.
Yeah, something artsy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hank Williams III is 50 today, son of course Hank Williams Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Regina Hall is 52 today, a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic actress. One of the best I think I've ever seen. Jennifer Connelly is 52 today. Unfortunately, Jennifer has not done that much work. Only A Beautiful Mind, Hulk, Blood Diamond, David Bowie. She was David Bowie's kid, she was the kid in Labyrinth. She was in Noah, Spider-Man Homecoming. There's a couple things Jennifer Connelly's been in. Her work in A Beautiful Mind is probably, I don't know, there's a couple of them. She's got a more artsy, you know, kind of a racier movie she did a while back with Marlon Wayans and Jared Leto and all this. That was a pretty good performance. But her work in A Beautiful Mind, along with Russell Crowe's work in that, is some of the best acting you'll see. Between both of them. And I don't give Russell Crowe credit out very often, but that one, he really showed what he can do as an actor. Eric Schenkman, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, is 59. He is from the Spin Doctors.
Okay.
Oh.
Two Princes, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong.
Yeah.
A couple of, such a 90s band.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear.
Back to high school.
They're one of those. Does this happen to you guys sometimes? There's certain genres or certain time periods where if I hear another 90s pop song or a song that was really popular in the 90s, I immediately, my brain goes down a rabbit hole of other 90s. And the Spin Doctors songs are one of those, you know, ones that pop up in my head and get stuck in my head or something like that. I was never into those guys. They weren't one of my bands, but it doesn't matter because I had a radio in the 90s. These songs were bombarded on us. They were relentless.
Yeah, thank you. Now, it's Little Miss, Little Miss, Little Miss. It's going to be running through my head all day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Earworm. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Sheila E. is 65.
How is that possible?
That's crazy to me. Yeah, that's crazy to me. Sheila E., of course, one of Prince's earlier understudies. Understudies. What did you say, Beth?
Protege.
That's a better way to put it, I think. That's a better way to put it, protege. Yeah, that's exactly, and I imagine that's how Prince would put it. Mm-hmm. I don't think we talk nearly enough about certain things about certain artists. And when it comes to Prince, we celebrate him, I think, properly as one of the greatest artists of all time and all these things. His guitar playing may be less appreciated, but I think a lot of people that know guitar understand how great he was at it. We don't take enough time to focus on how much Prince, like how many artists got their break because of Prince. How many artists Prince put in the limelight. There was this great debate throughout my generation and throughout really America in the 80s and the 90s of who was the king of pop or who was better, Prince or Michael? Who did more for music, Prince or Michael? And I don't want to take anything against Michael. Looking at Michael Jackson just as an artist, I don't take anything away from what he did as a pop star. And I think it's pretty safe to say that he was the king of pop. But there's two, it's almost unfair to compare those two. They're two very such different artists. Michael Jackson never picked up an instrument. Mm-hmm. Not once. Mm-hmm. He had no interest in it. To be fair, his voice was probably his instrument and his feet.
Oh, yes.
But granted, he was no interest in that. And Michael, he only got into trying to help discover and blow up other artists when he saw Prince doing it. And he never really did that well. Like, the one artist that any of us can really think of, Rockwell, I know it's midnight, somebody's watching me. Remember that song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, what you probably remember also about that song is the refrain, where it's Michael Jackson singing the refrain in the backup vocals, undeniably. So even with the songs like that and stuff. Now, Prince, Sheila E., a lot of other artists would be on stage with him and sometimes like that. And there were other personal relationships that were involved. And you can, go ahead and touch on those things as much as you like, too. They're important to the story. But it also is important to the story that Prince was all about rising up other artists and in particular female artists in an industry where they did not get a lot of respect.
Right, and she's a drummer, which is not a very common instrument for a woman in a big name band.
Great.
Yeah, great artist. Great drummer, too. Mm-hmm. And a great actor, Bill Nighy is 73. Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Victor in the Underworld films. He was so good in those. He was in Shaun of the Dead. But I think a lot of people remember him as the hilarious, over-the-hill rock star Billy Mack in Love Actually.
Okay, yeah.
One of the greater actors I think I've ever seen, Bill Nighy. He's so darn good. Dickie Betts, one of the greatest names in music history, is 79 today. Former Allman Brothers guitarist who wrote hits like Jessica and Ramblin' Man. And again, Dickie Betts. I mean, that's a great name right there.
That's
just a great one.
It's a good stage name.
Great songwriter, great voice. Diana Warwick is 82 today.
Oh, wow. That's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Connie Francis is 85.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
She was a big name soap star back in the 80s. I remember my mom watching, I think it was Knott's Landing she was on.
And 99 years old for Mr. Bob Barker.
Wow.
Happy to say that. Retired Price is Right icon. Very
Happy Gilmore that he was in.
Yeah. The Price is Wrong, Bob.
That was too good.
It's so good. So good.
He was so good about making fun of himself, you know, claiming that that was his iconic status. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys like him and Dick Clark and a lot of those guys, I always admire not just their the length of their careers, the longevity and stuff and their creativity, but that, Beth, I've always enjoyed that they could take a punch, that they could take a joke. You know,
they're tongue-in-cheek, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be said for that, especially going forward in our society. The artists, I look at somebody like a Timothée Chalamet, who is arguably the most sought after young actor in the game right now, and his star is only rising with the hour, let alone the day. The kid is getting more and more work. You see him in these interviews. He's almost embarrassed by it. He could not seem like he has his feet more on the ground. It seems like you got to give a lot of credit to mom on that one. His mom is very involved in his life and does a pretty good job, it seems like, of keeping him on the ground. But he can take these jokes about himself. He does a pretty good job at making fun of himself before anybody else can even do it. He's very self-deprecating. And I think that seeing this in younger stars is only going to, I think, help them create more empathy for them and the industry.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some people no longer with us, like Ed Koch, born in 1924, passed away in 2013, New York mayor, and the People's Court judge.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember the People's Court quite a bit. My Nana Papa loved that show.
That was always on at my grandma and grandpa's, too.
He was really good at that show, and I don't think he could have had any idea, if he was still with us, of what that show would have spun off.
Right.
I'm just going to real quickly.
Genre. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he did. He did. And then also Frank Sinatra, born on this day in 1915, passed away in 1998.
All right.
Frank Sinatra.
There are a lot of things that you could say about Frank Sinatra, I think, good and bad, like literally every single human being that has ever existed. Mm-hmm. I think that especially on remembering his birthday and everything, of course, on these days, I like to focus on other things. I mentioned this last week. Frank Sinatra is, along with Dean Martin, one of the biggest reasons why we were getting why. A black artist or Latin artist or Jewish artists were able to walk through the front door.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get those two if you didn't allow everybody else to walk through the front door. There was a lot that Frank did when it came to not only equal rights, but women's rights and a lot of other things that he was on the forefront for. That doesn't mean that he was obviously perfect in those scenarios or with those issues, but he was a lot farther than most were when it came to those things.
Hmm.
And that's before we get into his singing, his songwriting, his band leadership, his showmanship, his MC work. There's not much that Sinatra couldn't do, because he could also, act pretty darn good. Like, back in the day, it wasn't enough that you could just sing or you could dance. You had to be able to do it all. And if you couldn't, mm-hmm. your star was never going to be. Look at the bar that was set by so many of the old school stars.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sammy and Frank and so many of these artists.
Dean.
Very few of them were one-trick ponies. Very few of them had just one thing they could do. Almost every single one of them, including even actors we don't think about in the same realm, like James Cagney or somebody like that. James Cagney is looked at by modern audiences stuff is a certain way. That man could sing, dance, write, act, do it all. Almost every actor could back then. It just many of them didn't get an opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of the greats. I mean, however you feel about him, Sinatra, right there. One more time, wish a very happy birthday to Nick Brandt. Happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday, Nick.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Betty Klaus. Happy birthday, Betty.
Yeah, congratulations, Betty.
Thanks, everybody, for getting us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming. We want more of them. Get them to us, everyone. And we encourage you to head on over to Misty's Menu. So take a listen to Melissa's News. And then get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
While the merry bells keep ringing, happy holiday to you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you at 8:40 on the clock. We hope you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. I'm going to get into a fun one here right now. I got to tell the audience here. I apologize if I'm not reading very well or anything today. I'm using my phone to do all this stuff from, and it is a nightmare.
Oh no!
As much as I'm paying for this darn thing, it should just read it for me. Just put the microphone right by the phone and let dude that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get into this year's unexpected food combos now.
Interesting.
It wouldn't be shocking to order a ham and cheese sandwich, but what about a ham and cream cheese sandwich?
Well, that's not that cheese.
Uber Eats delivery services released a list of the most unexpected food combos people ordered this year, and ham and cream cheese was one of them.
Well, think about ham and like ham roll-ups that you make with cream cheese and a pickle in the middle.
Oh, there you go.
Ham and cream cheese goes together pretty good if you can eat it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to take a look at this list here, and we got a list. Let me see. It looks like nine things.
Okay.
They could not come up with 10. They couldn't just one more. They could. Okay.
Maybe between the three of us, we can come up with
10. Yeah, I think so. Number one, fruit roll up with hot Cheetos. This probably wasn't ordered as a sandwich wrap, but there was a TikTok trend of people mixing the two. So this was likely people who were ordering both items to be picked up from a store. They could try it on their own and make it their own kind of sandwich, their own little wrap with a,
fruit roll-ups and hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
I'd probably try it, to be honest. That doesn't sound awful.
Pickles.
I'm not a big spicy person, so. Yeah. Mm.
Pickles and whipped cream.
Yeah, no.
Huh.
That's a hard no.
That's what my mom used to do, which is pickles dipped in chocolate milkshakes.
That's also weird.
Yeah. That was her pregnancy thing.
Okay. You get a pass on that one.
We would go, in a couple minutes, like with my mom or my dad shouting, "Where are the pickles? Where are the pickles?" And sure enough, my sister would have that jar right by her, eating pickles or drinking pickle juice.
Yeah, pickles themselves are fine, but to do it with a chocolate milkshake or whipped cream?
It's cool. An odd combo.
Yeah.
How about?
I mean, I dip fries in my milkshake, but not pickles.
Yeah, that I've seen. How about popcorn and pickle juice?
That one I think would be okay because dill is really good on pickles, and vinegar is actually, or I'm sorry, dill, it is good on pickles, but also popcorn. And then vinegar would add an interesting flavor to popcorn.
Salt and vinegar potato chips, so.
Right. Yeah,
there might be something there.
Dark chocolate and tomato salad.
Well, technically, the tomato is a fruit, and I've seen dark chocolate with, like, cranberries, so...
Yeah.
How about pizza and applesauce?
That's... I can't speak to that one, because when I was a kid, I always put applesauce in my mac and cheese.
Oh.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We ate it a lot. We had a lot of mac and cheese out of a box when I was a kid. So you gotta spice it up somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember doing that, yeah.
And isn't there a big thing about putting cheese on apple pie?
Yeah.
So cheese and apples?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they're good together.
How about sushi and ranch?
No!
Well, boy, that's a first. I don't think we've had Beth say no to anything really food wise much.
Pretty emphatic.
Even stuff I could tell you don't like, Beth, you're still kind of like, well, I could see this. And that's the most emphatic I've heard you on anything before.
It's a straight up. Do you like sushi, Beth?
I love sushi. I'm a sushi eater.
And that's right. Yes.
With wasabi and ginger. You do not have it with ranch
or soy sauce.
Yeah.
I would think that ranch is too of a, it would be such a dominating flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how could you even taste anything else in the sushi you were eating?
No, I mean, I could understand if it's one of those rolls that has cream cheese in it, but no.
That's
you don't dip sushi in... No.
This is my issue with a lot of fast food places, and I'm not going to pick on one because all of them have some element of this, and it's such a, you know, well, this one works great, but the one in my town doesn't or something, you know. Most of these are owned by, you know, people in town or whatever. So you can't just put them all, like, one franchise under the same umbrella, I don't think. You know, you have food at this Subway and it's horrible. It doesn't mean that all the Subways are horrible is what I'm trying to say.
Well, because they're run by local, you know.
Right.
Well, they are a franchise. They're run by local people.
That being said, like, the biggest burger at most places, like McDonald's, the Big Mac, the Whopper at Burger King, that kind of thing. They tend to do, I don't know if it's just me or what, they tend to overdo it on whatever the special sauce or whatever the specialty is on that. And I can't taste the meat. And I hate that. If I order meat, I want to taste the meat. I am a carnivore. If you are overdoing it with the condiments, I feel like the meat's not worth it. I feel like that's something that, what did my nana used to always say? A poor cook overuses salt or something like that. Like, if you're not confident in your food, you'll just pour the salt on it.
Cover it up with other things.
I feel like that with a lot of that, with those kind of things.
Yeah, it can feel that way if you've got too much. But I get the opposite, James. You get too much, I get too little. I always have to, I always think of it after the fact. I should have got a side of mac sauce.
We need to start having lunch together more, and maybe we just
we'll
get
just
this
trade.
Right. We'll just trade. That's it. That's great. Peanut butter and pizza.
What?
Yeah, no.
Well,
no.
So, okay, but hold on. Let me defend peanut butter for a moment. Think about Thai food. There are so many good Thai recipes that involve peanut butter that you wouldn't think to have with your proteins or your breads or your, you know, like, or even pasta. Like, delicious peanut chicken pasta. So yummy.
Yeah.
So, on the right pizza, maybe.
You know, if it's in place of the marinara sauce, but, you know, peanut butter with marinara sauce is just...
That does sound a little odd.
Yeah.
I am...
Because I've had the pizzas that use a cream sauce with, like, Alfredo, that kind of thing, but, yeah. Go ahead, James.
I am going to lose some people here because I'm a huge fan of peanut butter and a huge fan of pizzas. I don't know what this who hurt this person that is doing this, but we're here for you. Okay, we are here to support you and through your trying times. Because why would you do this to peanut butter or pizza? It seems wrong. I obviously am the person that does not like to combine things, so that has been documented on this show here quite a bit. So I'm maybe the last person to look at when it comes to this one.
I could see eating them in the same meal, like you have a slice of pizza and a spoonful of peanut butter, but I wouldn't be putting the spoon of peanut butter on the pizza.
Right.
No.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I know I'm going to lose a lot of people on this one. For me, the only way to have pizza is with marinara sauce.
Yes.
Like anything else, any like white Alfredo or some of these other combinations that they call pizza, that's not pizza. It's food, and I wish you well.
It's a flatbread something.
Yes. You come up with your own name, leave pizza alone. Leave pizza alone. It's poor
pizza. Don't
mess
with the za.
Yes. No. Yes. Cheese and martinis. Huh?
What?
Cheese and martinis.
Does that mean you use that as the garnish instead of like an olive?
I'm not sure.
Or next to the olive? I have seen like cheese and olives on the same, call that? Skewer, like, yep. But usually for Bloody Marys. So I don't know. I don't drink martinis.
Yeah, I've had like one in my life, and if somebody put cheese in it, I'd still only be having one because I would not drink that. I would not drink it. No.
Well, and it has to be a true martini with gin. It can't be like the
well, there's so many fancy ones.
Martinis. Yeah.
If I ever ordered a martini, I don't believe that there is any way in human. There's just no way I could order it and not say shaken, not stirred.
Right.
And I'd probably do it in an English accent. I probably would. I'd probably be stuck in this accent for a while, and I wouldn't be able to quit it. Finally on the list, watermelon and mustard.
Ew.
Yeah. This is...
What kind of mustard? Because there are a lot of mustards.
There are different flavored mustards out there, yes.
There was also a trend of people trying this on social media last year. Even Lizzo did it. No word on if she liked it or not.
But I bet you the facial expressions were interesting and fun to see. Yeah.
The most popular delivery combo was a burrito and cheese. The second most popular was fries with salt. I don't think that counts. I don't think that. I guess
fries
it does.
Fries with salt?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
No, fries with... This is where the ranch comes in. You can dip red fries in ranch dressing and it tastes wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And you probably don't even need the salt then.
Nope.
There's a lot of great combos out there, and hopefully you can enjoy those and enjoy them at any of our local places. We would recommend Culver's, Misty's Menu, and plenty of other great spots. Mm-hmm. We'll take a great quick commercial break. We'll come back, have some more fun. It's Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you and having some fun and taking you right up to the top of the hour. Don't forget, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with the kitchens open. Looking forward to the show today. I'm sure you two have a great one lined up for us. Or I'm reminding you of the show and you're realizing right now, oh, God, we got to come up with something.
Outed us, Melissa.
Today,
butter. Let's give a preview of. No, I'm kidding.
Today's kitchen's open. Making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
peanut butter and pickles. What are we doing?
After that, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Taylor Schaefer. She is, of course, Alice in Dairyland. Taylor's going to join us to talk a little Wisconsin butter and some other fun stuff going on with Alice in Dairyland. Really enjoy talking with Taylor. That's going to be a fun conversation, everybody. And we'll, of course, have good stories, then right stories, and plenty of other great stuff lined up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that. Right now, do you two remember, this kind of faded as quickly as it came about, but there was a stretch there where for a while in junior high and high school, people were like putting designs in their hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like the real popular one were the steps. You know, kind of had that fade kind of thing.
Zigzag.
Yeah, that. Mm-hmm. Some people would have like a line in their, and then some people would do it with their eyebrows, putting a line in there
like
or whatever.
Yeah, like a slice through the eyebrow.
Can't say I ever did that one. But maybe we might get some people doing this kind of thing again. The bar is high for marketing stunts nowadays. It has been high. I mean, if anybody's seen that documentary, Hey Pepsi, Where's My Jet? Pepsi got in trouble with this some years back and everything where they did a joke promotion thinking, nobody would ever get enough points to get an actual fighter jet. Who would really want this? And then, of course, it happened.
Somebody did.
Yeah.
That was a really long documentary, though, that they could have done in probably 40 minutes.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you. Thank you so darn much. I don't know how hard it is to be a documentary filmmaker. I love docs, and I have a lot of respect. There's so many good ones out there, but come on. I got a life here, man. Yeah. I had to watch that in two parts, and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's probably the second half of this that I watched.
It's going to be more. Got to be more than what they're... No, there wasn't. It was just very drawn out.
I felt like through that whole, the last half an hour, the director was standing behind the camera. Stretch.
We need 20 more minutes of content. Yeah, I don't know. Come on, you guys.
Well, thank you for saving the rest of us from that. So we're wasting our time.
I mean, there was interesting it was entertaining at points. So I'm not knocking it completely, but it's also funny that you and I watched the same documentary, James, of them out there.
Yes, that is. That is pretty good. Now, here it is. Here is the promotion that Doritos is doing. Doritos is giving away two tickets to the Super Bowl. And to win, you have to shave a Dorito-shaped triangle into your head.
That's funny.
If you win.
To win.
Oh, to win.
So you have your entry in is you have to put a Dorito shape in your hair.
You also have to come up with a name for your haircut and post a photo online with the hashtag name that triangle and entry. The whole thing is based on Buffalo Bills linebacker Von Miller, who's been rocking a triangle hairdo for a while. His whole head is shaved except for a triangle in the back. He says, quote, it represents manifestation, enlightenment, revelation, and a higher perspective. But someone
the opposite of all Dorito things.
Basically, yeah. Someone at Frito-Lay realized it also kind of looks like a chip, so they jumped on it. You've got until January 15th to shave a triangle into your head anywhere you like, come up with a name, tag it on social media, and maybe you win two tickets to the biggest sporting event of the year.
Okay, so
go ahead.
Okay, if I was going to do this, you know, not that I want Super Bowl tickets because I don't, but if I was going to do it, I would go with the taco flavored Dorito chip. And along with the triangle, I would also include the taco parts. You know, there'd be some lettuce black olives, maybe the tortilla chip or the shell. Give it a whole thing, you know, and then it's the taco bowl.
I like that. I like that. What about just naming the triangle nacho? It's not nacho triangle.
Nacho triangle.
I was going to say cool hair Dorito.
Oh, good one. There you go. Nice. Yeah. See, I don't know which one of you is better. I lean a little bit on Beth on this one, but I knew like puns and that, like both of you are pretty good at these. So I don't know. There's a lot of things that seem pretty worth it. So.
And there's a lot of flavors out there, so I'm sure they're going to get an interesting response.
Yeah.
We will see. We'll see how this one plays out.
Show the winner on TV as part of the concert or something like that.
I got to think they will. I'm with you. I hope they do too.
Yeah.
We hope you'll stick around because we'll be back with more Morning Show here at WFHR.